You're listening to The New Music Show, playing new releases from around the UK.
Far, far away, I hear your voice in a memory. I cannot stay, living 9 to 5 just to stay alive. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I told you that I had to go, driving my car to the radio. Leaving this place right here, I'm here.
That was Feel Alive by Kimora, and that was sent in by Imogen. Thank you very much for listening. So welcome back. We are now episode 2 of series 5. We've got an exclusive interview with Laura May. She's from May Music Publishing, and she will tell us all about publishing and how she picks music for her roster. Meanwhile, we've got some more music for you. If you want to get your music played, the format for Series 5 is really simple. We have 5 tracks selected from our listeners. So if you're listening, go onto our website, www.thenewmusic.show, and submit your track. And everyone here in the studio will listen to all the tracks coming in, and we'll hopefully select the top 5 for each episode. So that was, as I said before, that's Feel Alive by Kimora, sent in by Imogen, and this band are from Glasgow, so check them out. We'll be putting links out to everyone as well. So let's have a listen to the next track coming from it's Mikey Ball and the Company, and they're from Bournemouth, and it's called The Morning. Yes, that's what we like. Two good tracks sent in from our listeners. Thank you so much for listening. This is your podcast. So, you know, I've set this up for musicians to get their music promoted and played. So if you want to send us your music, please do. Our next track is from Hailing Island, down there in the south there. And this is a track called You Belong to Me by Harvey J. Dodson.
You belong to me. You belong. You belong to me. You belong. You belong to me. I belong to me. You take me back like a memory. You hold my head when I'm lost. You always have been a friend of me, and I will love you because of you. You belong to me. You belong. You belong to me. You belong. You take me out for a ride. You hold me inside, but you hold me outside, and I would never let you die. But I would not be surprised if you said you belong to me. You belong. You belong to me. If I could take you anywhere, I'd take you anywhere I want. If I could take you anywhere, anywhere. Mm-hmm. You belong to me. You belong. Oh, you belong to me. You belong.
Thank you very much for sending that in. That was Harvey J. Dodson from Hailing Island. It's called You Belong to Me. Our next track is from Belle, and she's from Staffordshire, and it's called Run. And so if you want to send us some tracks, keep sending us the tracks. We love listening to this. And very soon, stay tuned, we've got an interview, exclusive interview with Laura May of Laura May Publishing. And she's going to tell us all about publishing.
When you're out in the cold and you're feeling alone, I got you. Got you when the silence is loud and you're lost in the crowd. I got you. I got you. Got you. If you fall, I'll be there. If you call, I will be there. Yeah, I'll come running.
Got you. If you fall, I'll be there.
Love it. Thank you very much, Belle, for sending that through from Staffordshire. Well, our last track now we've got before the interview we've got with Laura May is a track called Morning Sun by BB Green from Manchester. The quality of this song is amazing, so stay tuned. And straight after this track, we'll go into our interview with Laura, and she'll tell us all about the music publishing world and how it's so important to get royalties collected from your songs.
Waiting for you all day, couldn't switch off my brain. Sat around wondering how has it come to this. Then I hear your car pull up, your key twist in the door, and the moment you walk in, it occurs to me there's always more. Starting gate, so we sit for hours just circling. I know that I dug this hole, but truth be told, I'm in search of gold. Can't sit with my eyes shut, time's ticking. Hope I didn't rush into this. What course did I just set? But I hope there's a reason. There's always more than meets the eye. We both ignore the warning sign. Safe to say, I made a choice, head over soul. Tough to make, but that's the way it goes. Times have changed and now we're both out here alone. The past is set in stone, we had to breathe it in. To let it go.
Listening to the New Music Show, playing new releases from around the UK.
Hello and welcome again to the New Music Show. I'm here with Laura May. Hi Laura, how are you doing?
I'm all right, thanks.
Now you are our first music publisher we've had on the show, so tell us a bit about music publishing and how you got into it.
Music publishing is about the representation of the rights in a song. So publishers generally look after songwriters and composers, the people that sort of write the music and the lyrics.
Yeah.
So it's different to the people that sing the songs. Sometimes they're the same person,
yeah,
but they're different rights. I got into publishing. It's a bit of a funny story. I didn't start off wanting to do publishing. I went to university. I studied music. I'm a flute player. I just needed a way I didn't know what to do in my life, so I just did what I was good at, and that was music. And I went to the careers library when I was in my third year at uni and said, what can I do? I've decided now that I don't want to be a session musician. Because before I went to uni, I met a boy, and I thought, I better go home and get a desk job.
Yeah.
And I did. Luckily, that all worked out. We're still married. So it's
Oh, wow. And you met at the university?
No, just before. He's okay. Also from Reading. So, like,
oh, that's cool.
So, yeah, that was a good decision.
Yeah.
And then, but in that whole bunch of information that the guy gave me was about music publishing. So there's an organisation called the Music Publishers Association. And at the time, and they've brought it back recently, actually, they had a job seekers list where if you're looking for a job in publishing, you can put a bit of information about yourself and submit your CV. And a publisher picked me off it for the reason that they wanted... They were quite old school and they insisted that somebody in the office had a music degree, which is unusual. That's not normally what people ask for.
Yeah.
So that's how I got my first job in publishing.
What made you want to set up your own publishing company?
So, yeah, I went when I went from publishing and I took a bit of a sidestep after 5 years into royalty accounting and auditing. And then I was ill and I had to take some time off work. And then people sort of came out of the woodwork and asked me if I would do like freelance bits of people. Pieces of analysis and accounting for them, and I did that. And then that kind of grew on its own without me doing anything. So it's like, I quite like having this freelance business.
Yeah.
But then I had to get a job because we've done a pretty big house build. So I needed to have a payslip. So I got a job. But as I've got older, I like to do things my way.
Yeah.
And I think there's a, it's difficult to find a job where everything is how you want it to be. And maybe that's kind of a bit dreamy of me, but the one way to do it is to do things yourself how you want to do them. But I had this other royalty accounting skills that is good at paying the bills.
Yeah.
So then I had an opportunity where I could start my own publishing company and I've grown it pretty organically. The investment... I started with nothing, so I just had to sort of put my own money in as I'm going. But actually, I've paid all that back now. The publishing company washes its own face, and
nice.
I can take a tiny wage out of it.
So tell us a bit about royalty accounting, did you say? Did I say that right?
Yes.
So how does that work? So for our normal listeners who are writing their own music... maybe they're not even published yet. What would you sort of say? What do they need to be thinking about first?
So if you're a singer-songwriter and you have to think about the rights that might be in that song. So there are the rights as the performer, so the artist, so the master rights. You've got that record and you've put that out. So technically, even just by putting a record out, you've become a label.
Yeah.
Inadvertently. And then on the other side of that, you've written a song. So you've got songwriting rights. And then if you performed on the song as well, you've got neighbouring rights as a performer on the track. So there's a lot to think about. So first things you would do is to sign up to a performing rights society as a songwriter.
Yeah.
The one in the UK is PRS.
Yeah.
You don't have to join the society of the country you live in. You can join others, so it's £100 to join PRS. It's pretty pricey if you're not making any money. So my publishing company is a member of an Irish music rights society called IMRO, and it's free to join, but because you're international, the sort of threshold you get paid out is a bit more, but at least it's being collected. And you've registered your songs somewhere, because that's important for people to understand that who the songs belong to.
Yeah.
And then also there's another organisation called PPR, which is free to join, which is if you've released a record or a song, don't know what to call it. No, it's a track. you need to sort of sign up as a rights holder and as a performer so that they're collecting. If your song gets radio play, that then they know where to send that money. And everything nowadays is done on metadata, so it's really important to know your ISRC codes for the record, and for the performing side you get ISWC codes.
Yeah.
which is really boring, but it's important that you kind of keep track of your songs and understand that, because that money doesn't stay waiting for you to claim it. After a few years, it's gone, disappears if nobody claims it.
I didn't realise. So you only get a certain amount of time. I know people, royalty payments happen. Is it two or three times a year?
It depends on what type of... If you're with signed to a publisher, it's, generally it's twice a year. So the end of the period is like 30th of June, 31st of December.
Yeah.
But nowadays, everything's a little bit quicker to account. So you can do that quarterly. I actually do monthly accounting because I don't like having the money. So I look in the bank and I'm like, oh, I've got money. But it's not my money. It belongs to my writers. So I just pay it over monthly. Also, I feel like writers should have their money as soon as possible.
Well, yeah, definitely, because they need to eat and pay the bills and stuff. So as a publisher, then, you're collecting royalty payments owed to the rights holder, the songwriter, and then distributing that back into the actual artist that that you've signed as well. So are all publishers the same? What makes some publishers different? How do they differ? You know, if I'm a musician, how do I know which publisher to go for?
It depends what you want. If you to be published by me, you want somebody on your team that you're going to speak to, and that will sort of help you along the way. And I'm quite proactive with my writers, but I'm also quite new, so I haven't got tons of money either. So I wouldn't give an advance because that's not a practice that I have.
Yeah.
But other publishers will give you an advance on your royalties, but then not everybody's going to get an advance either. That's quite a risk for a publisher to take, especially in today's climate.
Yeah.
When the publishing income is not as much as it used to be. There are administration type publishers like Songtrust or Centric, where you sort of sign up to them and they'll collect your money for you. It's quite expensive in terms of the rate that they have, but it's a one way of doing it. At least somebody's collecting. There are so many publishers out there. I think it depends. You can look at it. Some publishers are exclusively reggae publishers. Some of them, some are very specific on their catalogue.
Genre specific.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Some publishers... so they're definitely specialties, like I say, and that sometimes happens by accident. So when I started, the publishing house I worked for predominantly were film television composers. There wasn't much outside of that.
Yeah.
So you tend to, and like even now, even though I've got a pretty diverse roster, a lot of it is pop punk, and it just comes with word of mouth.
Yeah.
And sort of if it works, it works.
Well, that's a good link. Should we play? Should we play one of your tracks? Because I've asked you to bring five tracks along with you.
Yeah.
Which one should we play first? Yeah. Maybe one of yours, one of your artists.
Yeah. Should we go with Chainscar Brasco?
And their song's called
Funky Reggae Man.
Hey. Jamaican town, was born a big man with an even bigger sound. From over in Maypen, brought up in Trench, he was a church boy and his voice was heaven sent. He talked about dropping the pressure and we shall overcome, spreading inspiration to each and everyone. Walk down the country road to the place where we belong. Told us his number and we all sang along. He's the funky reggae man, Mr. Funky, sing about the monkey. He's the funky reggae man. Rest in power, my friend. Fly into the island, we could never know. Studio. Oh, oh.
music starts. Talked about dropping the pressure, and we shall overcome. Spreading inspiration to each and everyone. Walk down the country road to the place where we belong. He told us his number, and we all sang along. Dropping the pressure, and we shall overcome. Spreading inspiration to each and everyone. Walk down the country road to the place where we belong. He told us his number, and we all sang along. He's the funky reggae man. Mr. Funky sing about the monkey. He's the funky reggae man. Now rest in power, my friend.
Game Man by Chainscar Brasca, and I'm here with Laura May. So they're one of your artists assigned to your publishing.
They are. They were the fourth signing. For 18 months I had like three writers, and then they were the fourth. Well, four right up to 11, because there's eight of them.
Yeah. And how did you find them then? Or did they find you? Or?
No, I found them. I was introduced to their manager at a Christmas party. She actually runs a charity in Deptford called Midi Music Company. They do all sorts of very exciting things in the community down there. They take kids in from age four, sort of teach them music. It's really good. And she manages Chainscar Brassica. I just loved them. Yeah. The minute I knew about them. But they played a show at the Jazz Cafe a couple of weeks ago, and it's one of the best nights I've had. Like,
yeah.
And for a Tuesday, it was just unbelievable. The atmosphere in there was fantastic. They were great. Yeah, I could do that every Tuesday. It was so good.
And I guess you do get a kind of sixth sense, don't you, really? Do you get, obviously, when you meet them as well, because you're going to be working with them and managing their royalties and things, you've got to get on with them, I guess, as people. So a lot of it is really about gut feel, I guess, and about personality. You know, can I work with this person or this band?
Yeah, I do it. I do it like that. Not everyone needs to. A lot of people don't know their publishers. They're sort of just in the background sending them money.
Yeah.
But I kind of have to go the extra mile because I'm new. I need to sort of insert myself into the team a little bit. But yeah. I love Wazzy's fantastic. I love working with her, and the band. They're just. It's. We've spoken before about great musicians, and they're just so good. That's such an understatement. I just can't even. I'm so excited. They're playing Glastonbury, and I'm just so excited to go and see them. It's one of the smaller stages, but yeah, they're playing on the Friday afternoon, and it's just going to be such a good way to start the day.
Fantastic. Well, I can't wait to see them. And they're called Chainscar Brasca. So let's have another track then. What else have you got for us, Laura?
So I hope. Isn't quite my writer yet. I'm hoping that she will be. She's fantastic. I was this particular song is co-written and produced by somebody I know, Cassell the beatmaker, and he told her about me, and she emailed me and invited me down to the show that she was putting on. So she put on her own show of original music in a place in Bermondsey, and it was such a good show. It was packed, and it was just a brilliant. I'm so glad I went. It's quite a trek from Reading to Bermondsey, and it was just so worth it for the night. I just kind of. But she's got an amazing voice. She's a brilliant writer, and yeah, this is the latest single,
and it's called
"Fuel to the Fire."
Cracks of love, will you fight for me or adore me if we're broken? I can see you are resistant, saying foolish things to rock the foundation. So I am telling you, don't light a match in a crowded room. Take it easy.
That was Fuel to the Fire by Hope Winter. I really like that track.
Oh, it is.
Nice, laid
fantastic
back.
Fantastic track, yeah.
Had a bit of Jamiroquai going on in there as well.
Got a really good vibe to it.
Yeah, and you saw her live, did you say?
Yes, she played she put on her own show of original music. And I've seen her a couple of times now, actually. She's got some pipes on her. She can really hit those notes.
And fantastic production as well. Really good production.
Yeah, so that's produced by Cassell, the beatmaker. He actually co-wrote that really good Plan B album from 2010.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I remember that. Yeah.
And he's also a super talented producer. But it's just got something that... I'm looking at a couple of people that have worked with him, and it's just something that keeps it fresh,
yeah,
but also timeless.
Yeah.
Kind of. Doesn't fit into a time as such. With some music, you can sort of say, oh, that sounds really 80s. But it, for me, this just sounds like it's a great song.
Yeah, really good. Excellent. You're spoiling us. Thank you, Laura. So I'm here with Laura May, and Laura runs her own publishing company called May Music. Yep. Is that right? Yeah. And you're bringing some tracks with us. So let's have a listen to another track. We can keep the music going. What should we listen to next?
Hopefully this signing is over the line this week. A guy called Richard Carter, who's just super talented. The song's called Show Off. This is the latest single from Richard.
For a minute now, needed you to wait for me to show up. Now I show face, I can feel it now. Oh, I could never waste this, let me show up.
Southeast on the map, did my part, I can never go back. 16 beats in a week in a seat in my room, and I act like I really don't rap. Like I really don't rap. I hit a PB when I got a frog hat. You see me, I could never top that. Till I'm best in the UK, I already know that. Yeah, but I don't know when I will get there. But I know I better. Cause they be calling me ill. My feet got cold, but the beats got better. And I'm in my zone, I'm out my cave, and I got my pen out. A light skin King Kong, I'ma push that heat to defeat Godzilla.
I've been up late for a minute now. Needed you to wait for me to show up. Now I show face, I can feel it now. No, I could never waste this, let me show up.
Try say that you're pushing that genre, when we all really know you're basic. I intimidate you, I know, yeah, brother, just face it. MC with the keys to the coupe with the truth that'll take me places. I got G's on block from south to the top, they're in different locations. And if we all pull through, we can fill a few halls and a couple of basements. So when you hear that sound, when you feel that crowd, when you feel that bass hit, well, there ain't no way you can't feel away with the product I'm placing. You'll be bumping your head when the car goes past and the radio plays this. Cause I've been up all night till the sun shines bright and the tide of waiting. So let me get that, let me step to the front, let me get my face.
I've been up late for a minute now. Needed you to wait for me to show up. Now I show face, I can feel it now. No, I can never waste this, let me show up.
Show off, show off, show off, yeah. And I ain't wrote verse for yeah. Real talk, I ain't even rehearsed these yet. Drop verse and I rock that set. Flow sideways, something that'll hurt your neck. Feel the energy the verses get. Here's a new one, I ain't even heard this yet. Like,
that was Show Off by Richard Carter. So Laura, tell us a bit about Richard Carter.
I hopefully by the time this goes out, he is one of my writers. The contract's on the side, we're on signature copies of the contract. He randomly, somebody from Reading, George, who's got a really good ear, but he just phoned me up and started telling me about that he wanted to be an A&R guy. I'm not a position in my company where I can pay people to work for me. And but he told me about a couple of people that he was working with, or that he was talking to, that he wanted to manage. And Richard was one of them. Didn't work out for them management wise, but I met with Richard, and he's amazing. Such a talent. I'm just really impressed by him. Like his whole, he's dedicated, like his music's fantastic. He's just got something.
That's, yeah. And that's, I could hear a bit of, a bit of jazz in there, sort of jazz hip hop.
Yeah, I wouldn't even like to.
Yeah, I hate pigeonholing. We shouldn't do that.
But it's just good music. I just love it. It's I don't know. I just really love it. That's what I say about most of the people I work with.
Yeah. Well, it's important, and it's really reassuring to know that there's people like you out there who are genuinely musicians themselves and music fans.
Yeah.
And you're helping with their business side, you know, you're helping them get paid so they can eat, which is really important, isn't it? And it's this, sometimes, I guess, where you're operating, it's at the start of their career, so you're really helping them develop as an artist.
Yeah, and helping them get their ducks in a row early on, which is really important, because then if you do blow up and nothing's in place, it can become a real mess.
Yeah, so which track should we play then?
Let's go with Porch Light. That was quite interesting. Yeah. I don't look after these guys either, but I went to Great Escape conference in Brighton last month, and I didn't get to see much music at all. It was just busy. Nobody's seen each other for a couple of years, so it was just super busy. And I took part in a little bit of the conference. I was invited. I think they were part of the Alternative Escape. But you had to get a cab down to this distillery. Also really good distillery. I wish I could remember what it was called, because the beer was really good. But it was I was just so glad. Sometimes you see something, it's like, I didn't get to see much music, but thank goodness I got to see that, because it was just such a fantastic show. I loved them. It was just, I was right in the front. Somebody came and stood in front of me, and I was just, I'm not having that. So I walked to the front. Just because... I wanted to see it all.
Yeah, that's commitment. I like that. That's proper A&R job, isn't it? Yeah, old school. I love it. And so, the Great Escape. Have you been there every year, or do you always go there? Is it in your
since calendar? There was a couple of years that I wasn't on because of the pandemic. I've been since my publishing company's been going. I've been going.
Yeah, and you've been going 5 years as a publisher. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been three times. Because of the two missing years. It's like two weird years that weren't.
Yeah. Well, that's when this show started. I started it in November 2020. And it was really just because we couldn't go out, and I wanted to play people's music, and I saw music still being released. And during that lockdown period, did you see more music come? Did people present more music to you as a publisher?
I heard from a lot more people... because everyone kind of wanted to get their ducks in a row and sort of sort out their publishing, which is something that everyone thinks about last on their list of things to sort out. Everybody was sort of in a bit of a debate about whether it was a good idea to release music. If people, you know, there's quite a strategy. Like, normally when you're releasing it something, then you can go and play it live. And it's kind of, there's a whole bit of sort of work that goes in around it. If you're just going to release a song with nothing, it's not necessarily going to do anything. I look after a band called Neck Deep, and their album went out as planned in July 2020, and they're still on tour. They're on the European leg of their tour.
Wow.
So it's still the album is keeps on giving. Yeah. But it's like, how long do you want an album cycle to be? It's it's good in a way, because it means income sort of stays consistent, but also bad, because like, you probably want to move. They've got a new song out, so it's kind of, you want to move on to the next project as well. Yeah. In a bit of a it's sort of difficult to make those decisions, and also, like, nobody been in that situation before. How do you know what the right decisions are? Like, do you release if your tour's going to be delayed? But nobody knew what was happening, so I've got no idea how any of those decisions kind of,
I suppose that's down to the management, and I guess, and if they're signed to a label, the label.
Yeah, they had some really good stuff that came out there, like, during the pandemic. Sort of, they also did like a live in lockdown session that everyone could sort of log in and have a look. That went down really well. And also some acoustic versions of their tracks to sort of keep it moving a little bit. I suppose you have to keep maintain
yeah.
a bit of momentum. They're lucky they've got a really good bunch of fans. I think that's the most important thing, because I think that's the thing that keeps you going, is the fan base that you've got.
Yeah.
We'll keep listening.
You're listening to The New Music Show, playing new releases from around the UK.
So that was Drywall by Porchlight. I really like that. I really like that. I had a bit of Idols. I don't know if I should say that or not, but I just like it. It's oh, really
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's just live. It's unbelievable. Like, you can't take your eyes off them. It's fantastic.
Yeah. And you go to other festivals around the country looking for bands or...
Not really. I mean, Great Escape, to me, is like a work, is a networking
yeah.
event. I go there to sort of meet other people in the business and sort of book and find other people to work with. And
yeah, and networking is, you've really got a network, I guess, in music business, haven't you? It's all about networking, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's a real skill as well. I spent 2 years networking my socks off. It's tiring because all the events tend to happen around the same time. So sort of May is mega busy, so's July is also another busy month, and obviously Christmas is the season to do networking. And it's tiring, especially if you live in Reading. I don't live in London. Everything sort of takes place in London, so I've got to like come back and forth a lot and then get up early again and go sort of try and do some work. So it's tricky, but it definitely, I think that was my biggest worry during the pandemic, was that I wasn't going to get to see anybody. Nobody would see my face and they would forget that I'd started this publishing company. But I had actually put the work in and it had paid off. So it kind of worked.
Should a musician go to these networking events, do you think, and try and meet publishers? Or what advice would you give a musician who's got some songs?
I don't know. It's tricky. And anybody that's approaching anybody for any reason needs to do their research.
Yeah.
So if I get quite often I'll just get emails asking if I'm accepting submissions, and quite often I'll just say no. If I get an email that's like, hi Laura, and somebody that's clearly done their research and is not just sending something to every publisher, then I'll have a listen. And this is the same for if you're trying to pitch songs to people, that you can't just pitch them to everybody. You need to know who you think that song's going to be good for, why, who which A&R person you're going to pitch it to. It's a tricky thing, but you can't just approach everybody. I wouldn't advise just blanket approaching everyone. It's a waste of your time. It's also nobody's going to look at it. I suppose the theory is there that one of them's got to land, but might not be the one you want. So it's kind of, you need to pick a publisher or somebody that you want to work with that you think is going to work for you, because there's so many different types of publishers or even record labels out there to work with that you need to know that one's right for you. It's difficult for musicians to network because, I don't know, actually one of my bands told me that they were approached by a live agent, but they didn't want to deal with them direct. They wanted to deal with a manager. Which I tell them just to pretend to be the manager, but because it was a weird thing, because so many people now don't have a manager. I can sort of see why you might not want to deal with a band direct, but also as there was no manager, it was sort of they should have just dealt with the band.
Yeah, and I suppose it's probably a good moment here to talk about DIY musician versus signed. You know, these days with the web, and we can upload our own tracks through distribution channels and get it streaming. So it feels like we are more empowered now as musicians. We can create pretty good quality now on a decent laptop and get it out there. So what does the manager actually do, you know? And of course, they're all taking a commission as well.
Yeah. Well, that's... they'll get it heard. Anybody can put a track out, but who's going to listen? You need to make sure that you've got a way to make somebody listen, and that you've got a whole strategy behind that. Because just even well-known artists just putting a track out isn't necessarily going to get you listeners. And also, there's a thing where sort of listeners on Spotify doesn't necessarily equate to the same radio play. I think there was any... So you could do really, really well on radio, but you're not going to have any streaming numbers. It's sort of, they're not, and not everything sort of goes at the same time, I suppose.
Yeah. And so do you help your artists and songwriters, do you help them push the song to, say, like get sync on a film or something? Would you approach, as the publisher, would you then approach the
film? That's part of the publisher's job, is to try and exploit, I hate the word, but exploit the track, all the works as much as you can. But you can't, again, you have to do your research. You can't push that to anyone that you think will listen. Music supervisors have a lot of music that they have to listen to, like not even just the project that they're working on. So to get them, you need to get them to listen. I recently met with a lady, and she does the same thing I do, because if I'm saying, don't send me your whole catalogue, I just want to hear your five favourite songs, because that's what you've got time to listen to. And you can get an idea of a person and the music from those five songs. And then if you want to hear more, you can ask for more.
Well, let's listen to some more music then. Let's have a listen to your last track. So who's your last track you've got for us today?
This is Shade Ray. This is probably one of my favourite songs in the catalogue. Although, like I say, they're all my favourites. But this one's just... it's a trio of women, and they're just... so cool. I can't, again, it's really difficult to classify a genre, but they're just superb musicians and songwriters, and they tend to write based on fairy tales. They're rebranded as Shade Ray, but before they were called Marine, and they had a whole album of songs that were based around fables, and it's just really fantastic. And this one's based sort of loosely around the Emperor's New Clothes.
Let's have a listen.
How did it end up this way? Gordy Emperor, knew you before you were on land. You move so much better than
That was Emperor by Shay Dre. That was a really good track as well. Thanks, Laura. That's five really good tracks you've played for us today. Thank you. That's really amazing.
You're welcome. I could have picked 50. It's so hard to sort of... And it's... I kind of wanted to pick... not necessarily completely everything from my catalogue, but also stuff that's kind of... I wanted to be varied. That's how my roster is.
Will you come back again on the show?
Absolutely.
Brilliant. And well, thanks very much and have a good rest of the week. And keep sending us tracks as well and we'll keep playing them. And also, I'll play you tracks. So if you want to send your track into the show, just go on to www.thenewmusic.show. Thanks a lot for coming today.
Thanks.
You're listening to The New Music Show with Pete Doyle.